Yo, 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 what's up? This Ken Cook on Listen To Me Podcast, episode 3. And I kind of explained in episode 2 how I was going to get a friend of mine on, a staple in the community, good guy, been knowing him for years, since he was like 17, 18, coach, youth minister, does a lot. Family man, married, kids, and go through and have been through a lot of trials and tribulations like most of us have, like I said in the last episode. So, I wanted to get my man on, Jermaine Weaver. Jermaine, you there?
I'm here, bro.
My man, T-Dub. T-Dub, introduce yourself to the people that's listening.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, man, I'm Tremaine Weaver. Everybody call me T-Dub. Man, I'm just a husband, father, son, uncle, brother. I'm really just out here, man, just trying to, you know, do God's will, walk out God's will in my own personal life by, you know, supporting the community, supporting our youth, you know, supporting our neighborhoods, you know, really you know, preaching to the kids about, you know, academics, about higher education, about, you know, next level things outside of just presently where they live in. And, you know, I do that through different means, youth ministry, football, you know, football via Hillcrest, via youth football. But ultimately, man, you know, this is just me walking out God's will for my life.
That's what's up. So let's start there. Before you became a coach, was you a youth minister already, right? You did youth ministry first and then got into the youth football aspect? Because I know you played youth football and played high school football, but as far as teaching and mentoring, did it start with youth ministry?
Yeah, so, you know, like many of us brought up in church, you know what I'm saying? And you know, my relationship with God is something that's always been in the forefront of my life. You know, something I've always wanted to do. But when I started coaching at 19. So okay. I was, you know, always in ministry. And at that time, actually, you know, we were doing the, we had the group, RHH.
Okay.
So, you know, that was really my, you know, my introduction for real into the ministry world. And then, you know, I had some time on my hands, man, and I really wanted to get into coaching football. At the time, my uncle, Al Weaver, he was still coaching with the Cougars. He had been coaching maybe 20 years or something like that by that time. And, you know, I just went out there, you know, following him, you know, got the opportunity to work underneath his tutelage. And Coach Lee Coles, they gave me a shot, and I've been in it ever since.
Okay, let's back up, because I didn't bring this up, but you brought it up, RHH, right?
Yeah.
Gospel Hip Hop Group.
Yeah.
You and your brother.
Yeah.
Shout out to A-Dub, Alan Weaver.
Yep.
And Sean, right? What's his last, I can't remember his last name.
Steph. Yeah.
So I remember that group, you know, we had connections back then.
I-57,
that's right. A lot of dope music, man, that you guys put out.
Yeah.
So since we're gonna start there, let's start there. How old was you when you and your brothers and stuff put that together?
Man, I think I was maybe like a sophomore, junior in high school when we really got exposed to it. Like I said, you know, we were in church, and active participants in church, and you know, at that time, late 90s, early 2000s, you know, Christian hip hop was on the rise, you know, right. Groups like Cross Movement, you know, Great Tree Records, who, Max and Zeke and those guys, like that's from the neighborhood, was signed to, and Bree Veezy and all those guys. So, it was just our environment, man, where a bunch of guys from, like, you know, South Suburbs, South Side of Chicago, everywhere. And, man, we just got together, put the group together in our church. And, man, we, you know, we was just out there just putting out decent music and praising God in the interim, you know, and as a part of what we did. And you know, we just attacked it as you know, a gift. This is a gift that God gave us. We wanted to make music. Grew up in the house. My dad was a musician, so music was always being played in my house. My dad played the drums.
Okay.
And he wasn't necessarily drumming at this time, but you know, we just grew up around music, you know, the standard Saturday morning music blast, and you know, it's time to get up and clean. But everything in our house, you know, just my dad and my mom, they always played music, and they played it really loud. You know what I'm saying?
Right. The typical black household.
Typical black household. You know, uncles played bass, and
right.
And my dad was in the group in like the 70s and stuff like that, man. So you know, it was just cool to be able to you know, go out there, man, and just make our mark for the Lord, man. And we had a lot of fun doing it, man. We met a lot of people. We got to travel the United States, did right. some tour dates, you know, did the things with I-57 and the whole Cash Money thing and the Lil Wayne.
Right.
What y'all did together at U of I. And,
right.
Man, we had a good time.
That's good. That's good. That's right. Those were the days, man. Like those were some good days. Now,
yep.
You guys are doing the group and, you know, whatever happened with that, but you got into ministry. And,
yeah.
And you took that passion for Christ, that passion for God that you had with you, and you wanted, you know, share that word with the youth. And you
yeah.
had that connection because you wasn't that far removed from that age group that you
right.
was ministering to. So they probably connected with you, you know, because they was like, oh, you know, he can relate to what I'm going through, you know, in that sense. You wasn't
yeah.
that far removed from that age group. So I guess
right.
they probably really connected with the youth, and you took off with it. What was that experience like? Like your first time actually having to minister to a group of youth, how did you feel about that? How was that feeling?
You know what, man? I remember the first time where I actually got asked to preach at a different church outside of doing youth group at my church.
Okay.
And my boy Corey Keys, who was our producer, and he owned the label Keys to Life at the time.
Shout out to Corey Keys.
Corey Keys, Hines.
Hines is right.
Man, everybody, Unique, everybody,
yep.
everybody, we all, DP, Z Gang,
yeah.
T Willow, everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. But, yeah, man, like it was tough at times, man, because when you're young and you're in ministry, man, a lot of things you're preaching about, you're still facing them yourself.
Right.
You know, and, you know, you're trying to encourage people through your life and through your shortcomings, and that's all I've ever tried to do in ministry. I've tried to share my life, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
even when I speak, man, I try to be as transparent as I possibly can, because I feel like that's what causes, you know, change. You know, when people say they're not going through, or they're not suffering along, or they having the same issues you kind of having,
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of show them in the word, man, where, you know, God can deliver us, or God walks with us, or whatever it is, God forgives us. He, you know, all we have to do is repent, man, and be in fellowship with God, man. It's a beautiful message. It's not an easy walk. Being in leadership, it was tough. A lot of times, man, and looking back, you know, is a lot of times, man, I'm like, man, you know, having the purest intentions without, you know, the proper, you know, mentorship. And not to say we didn't have the proper covering and things like that, but just to have that one-on-one direct with somebody to kind of help you navigate through ministry, what it looks like, what it feels like.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So, you know, I can't say I had, you know, that heavy of an imprint on me, but I did have some solid, you know, guys in my corner, solid, you know, spiritual, you know, fathers and advisors in my corner and things like that. But I mean, it's good. Like it's great, man, to be able to stand before people and say like, man, God is good. Whatever you're going through, you know, he's with you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and just to encourage people in the Lord, man, not just in life, but in the Lord, man, and just let them know that they not, you know, doing this alone. None of us is doing this alone. You know, no matter how hard it gets, no matter what it looks like, you know, understanding that God is present with us.
That's right. That's right. And you are a living testimony of that.
Man,
You know what I'm saying? A living testimony. It, you know, people can get up and talk and say what they want all day long about how you should be. But if you haven't been through those trials and tribulations yourself, you know, you really, it's really kind of hard to explain how someone else can get through something if you haven't been through what they're going through. But you have been through a lot. You have been through a lot. So you can definitely testify. You know what I'm saying? To that, let's speak on that before we get into, you know, some of the other things with the coaching and whatnot. Take me through your journey. I know you're a happily married man now.
Yeah.
What, four kids?
Yeah, four kids. Got a man, a beautiful blended family situation.
Right.
Not to say situation, but just a beautiful blended family, and man, to have you know, a partner in life that, you know, that builds with you and things like that. But man, it took so many trials, so many tribulations, so many falls and pitfalls, and you know, not to go, you know, I don't believe in telling your testimony, you know, telling other people's sides of the story, because that's not the, and at the end of the day,
right,
you know, my children are involved in this story. So, you know, you just have to be careful how you speak it. But,
absolutely,
you know, I couldn't minister about marriage, or I couldn't minister about getting out of divorce if I hadn't went through it.
Absolutely.
I can't minister about, you know, being young and having a kid, you know, before you're married, you know, had I not gone through these things, you know what I'm saying? And they are very, very challenging things. And these things happened while I was in church and, right, you know, leadership roles and, you know, things like that, man. So just having to navigate these things in life, you know what I'm saying? The ups and downs in life, the, you know, the marriage, the divorce, you know what I'm saying? The choosing to, you know, get remarried, the trusting yourself, trusting the process, you know what I'm saying? Not allowing fear or allowing failure to dominate your life, man, because at the end of the day, I honestly can, man, I never wanted much in life but a family.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I ain't one of those dudes that said, man, I want to be a millionaire, or I want to have X, Y, and Z and stuff like that, man. I think one of the most underrated things you can have is a family.
Okay.
Somebody to come home to, somebody that's to right, build, raise your kids, you know,
yeah,
for your kids, raise your kids in the Lord, watch yeah, your kids make mistakes, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's really, you know, growing up, man, having being blessed to have both my parents, yeah, you know, in the house, you know, but watching the ups and downs of their marriage, you know what I'm saying? Watching them, you know, go through some really, really tough situations, you know what I'm saying? And seeing things really young, but watching them overcome it, you know what I'm saying? That was my view of marriage. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you got the right person, you know, you can stick with that person and things like that. And, you know, marriage is, I honestly feel like, man, a lot of people not going to like this, but back then, you know, a lot of church people, a lot of churches, I won't say church people, but a lot of people, you know, in church, they don't talk much about marriage. They talk a lot about weddings.
Yeah.
And
the ceremony. The ceremony. Yes.
Yeah. And if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in the ceremony too.
Right.
You'll get caught up in the one day and the glitz and glam and forget that you have to lay your life down to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And, that, you know, that's not easy. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says, like, it's a mystery how two can become one. You know what I'm saying? And it's a for real mystery because, you know, if you think about your own marriage and what you've been through and just the time that it takes, you know what I'm saying, to be on one accord and, you know, things like that, man, I feel like the church should do a better job talking about the realities of marriage, not just, you know, all, you know, the financial trouble and, you know, infidelity. That's kind of where it stopped at in the church, but it's so much more.
Yeah, so much more. It's so much more. Let me, so you've been through a divorce at a young mm-hmm. age, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just go through the emotional, like emotionally where that puts you at when you know that this is not going to work, right? And at that point, when you say, you know, enough is enough, not fault, who's, you know, who fault is this, who fault is that, that doesn't even matter. Like, at this point in that relationship, somebody said, this is not going to work, and we can't go no further. Yeah. Where do that put you? When I say you, I mean, it really applies to majority of us men. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Really, because we all go through the same emotions pretty much. It's hurt, anger, fear. Anger. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get hurt, you're like, man, what did I do? Oh, man, why is this not going to work? Why, you know, I invested all this time and money into this, and then, bam, it's over with. And then you know, then you're angry. You know, that pain that you have, you want to inflict on someone else. Some kind of way, emotionally, physically, whatever. You know? And then it's like redemption. You got to find yourself. So now you back. Now what do I do? You know what I'm saying? So take me through those stages, bro, when you went through that. You know, and let the people know, like, how was you feeling when that time came that you had to, you know, give it up? Because it was kids involved and, you know, saying everything, right? So you had to make a decision. You know, what, how was you feeling at that point? Like, what, take me through that emotion.
Man, it was, just the process, just, you know, the process itself, like, you know, it's so many different phases to divorce, you know what I'm saying? It's, sometimes the process of knowing it's, it, you're going down, you know, down the separate, you know, going down for separation, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so many emotions involved in it. You know, divorce, the emotional divorce kind of happens first.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You begin to detach emotions, you know, from each other or whatever. And it could be from things from like rejection or whatever it is. You know, you just ain't vibing, whatever it is.
And,
you know,
and physically. And physical divorce.
Yeah, and physical. Yeah. And physical divorce or whatever. So, you know, just for me, man, like, it was tough, man. I looking back, man, I know that I was dealing with depression at the time, man. You know, just trying to get through it, trying to figure it out, you know, reaching out. I tried the counseling, you know.
So you back then you tried, you talking about the marriage counselor?
Yeah, marriage counselor.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, you know, did the marriage counseling thing and, you know, all of that. But at the end of the day, Ken, it's, like you said, you have to make a decision, man. And it was very tough because if anybody know me, know what type of father I am.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just, it was tough. It was tough, man. And I hate to say that, you know, I spent so much time there because of my kids. You know what I'm saying? Because that wouldn't be the absolute truth.
Right.
But that was a big part of the truth. You know what I'm saying? And it took, you know, people to say, like, man, you know, I get it, you know, staying together for the kids, but at what expense?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, you know, you have to make a decision because at the end of the day, if parents are not cohabitating, right, you're under the same roof, but you're not cohabitating. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What are we really showing the kids? Right. And as a man, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want my daughters, you know, to view me as, you know, well, you know, my dad, you know, stays in this room and my mom stays in this room. That's no way to raise kids. And I didn't want that for my kids. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to put them through that, you know, another year. You know, girls were getting older. You know, Takai was already old enough to
see it.
To see it.
Yeah.
You know, and so then you have to start looking out for everybody. You know what I'm saying? It was just a very tough decision, man. And you deal with anger. You deal with fear. You deal with rejection. You deal with, you know, for me, like, a big thing for me was just like a loss of confidence.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the things that I love doing, I didn't really, you know, want to do. I found myself just kind of laying around and, you know, going through the motions, going to work, you know, stuff like that, but just kind of through the motions, man. And, you know, ultimately just getting back to a good, you know, place in my life, man, where you're able to accept somebody being nice to you. And that's one of the biggest things, Ken, about divorce that I think a lot of people don't talk about, you know, is happiness.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you're in a place, man, and it's so much it's toxic all the time. You know what I'm saying? Then once you become happy, man, you still have to adjust to not being in something toxic.
Yeah.
You see what
You're
I'm
not used
saying?
to it.
You ain't used to
You're
it.
like, what is this? Like, what man, this I'm and sometimes it may be mentally you say, this not right for me. Because I'm not used to this. You know, I'm not used to it. What are you why are you nice all the time? Like someone's cooking every day and what is this?
It's scary,
It's
man.
scary, yeah. Yeah.
It's scary. So, you know, I just, you know, man, I, you know, I just put it before God, man, and really, you know, it's tough, man. It's, you know, you pray at the same time for God to move, but you also pray like, man, God, you got to protect me, you know. Either way, whatever decision I make, and you know, it take two people to get in, it take two people to get out,
Yeah.
and at the end of the day, the mindset is, you know, whatever's, you know, we got to focus on our kids. We still have to raise our kids. We still have to be parents. You know, we still got graduations and proms, and you know, to wrap our lives and weddings and you know, stuff like that. So you know, you really gotta at some point put your feelings to the side, and you know, try to continue a relationship, some sort of stability within the relationship with the co-parent, man, and just move forward with your life, man. Divorce sucks. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. I don't ever want to go through it again. I tell Bertan, I'm like, listen, this it.
Yeah.
Like you can trade me in after 50 years. I'll
Right,
be 80. You know, you get rid of me at that time.
Right.
This is what I wanted in life, man. You know, to just be able to, you know, to have someone who understands, you know, family, who understands ministry, who supports you in ministry, and who supports you in every venture, everything that I got on my plate right now, man. My wife is right there.
Now, let me
Right.
ask you,
Yeah.
when did you know that you were happy?
Man, you know what, Ken? There was just a moment one day that I woke up and I'm like, man. And it wasn't necessarily happiness, it was peace.
Peace. There you go.
Yeah, you know, when you're going through, man, and it's hard, man, you wake up in the morning like it ain't necessarily peaceful all the time, you know, especially inside your mind.
Yeah.
And you know, it just had got to a place where, you know, I accepted it. You know what I'm saying? And you just like, man, I can't deal with the, you know, deal with being in this hyper emotional place all of time. And you know, I need peace. So that was my prayer, man. And I just remember one day waking up and like, man, like I literally feel like the peace of God. And you know, just within our friendship, Bertan and I were friends that literally it just turned into a marriage.
Right.
And you know, that's my one of the biggest things I've learned, you know, throughout this entire process, everything that I've been through, man, the ups and downs of everything in life, you know, friendship is important. Friendship is so, you know, so important. You know, you have to be more than just husband and wife. You know what I'm saying? You got to be so many different things to each other, man, to just make it work. And
I
that's
agree.
process, you know. So it happiness, man, like I felt peace first. You know what I'm saying? And
Right.
then, you know, just the overall joy of you know, companionship and you know, having somebody good in your life and somebody special in your life, man, and the happiness come with it. And you know, we just kind of let it evolve, man. You know, we ain't really, you know, put a title on things and stuff like that. You know, we was friends and you know what I'm saying? And we both, you know, she had Zay at the time, and you know, I had my girls, man, and it just all just kind of came together and worked out.
Right. Now I know your wife is gonna hear this, man. So I gotta let her know this, that because I, you know, I've been like I said in the beginning that I've been knowing you forever. You know, I don't know what 18. You was 17, 18 maybe when we met.
17, actually.
17. So, bro, I remember that phone call. You know, when you told me about her. You know, and I heard it in your voice. I felt it in your spirit. You know what I'm saying? That this was the one, you know, that you was gonna make. Like this was gonna work, like something. You know, I'm a firm believer that God would send you through, so you can get through. You know what I'm saying? Like He send you through. So, you know, you might feel like you got beat down and beat up and, you know, tore down or whatever, so that you can be a stronger person for that one that's waiting on you.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. We have to learn to, like, acknowledge the storms in our life and really understand that those storms do equip us and they do prepare us. And that's just not a cliche.
No.
You know, and, like, look, you know, think about the things that you've been through in yeah. your life while you was going through them and what it felt like. But once you come out and you look back over it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you like, man, God, I can see your hand all in it. But when you're going through it, you can't.
No, you don't see that. You don't see that. Yeah, you don't see it. You feel like you're being forsaken. Why are you forsaking me?
Right.
You know,
right.
You don't know why you're going through it. You just feel the hits.
Yeah, I used to tell man to be completely honest, Ken. There was a time where I used to curse God. I was hurting
so bad. Oh boy, man, look, you ain't gotta tell me about it. I already know that, and this is why I feel that this platform that we have is so important.
Yeah.
It's so important, man, because we don't share those things. Men, black men don't share it. I don't know what the women do when they get together and go get their nails done or whatever, or they talk on the phone. You know, maybe they do share those things or share their feelings. But I know as a man, we are put together to not share that feeling. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are put together to not share those type of feelings. You know, I remember my dad telling me, man, be quiet. Shut up. You know, stop crying. What you crying about? Put it together. Wipe your face.
Mm-hmm.
Not, son. Talk. Sit down. Talk to me. Tell me what's going on. So we are conditioned to not share those emotions and those feelings with anyone.
With anyone.
Because
it makes us weak.
It makes us weak. Well, you know, and I said this in the last podcast, just the Ken Talk one, is that... A strong man can be strong enough to say that he's weak.
Yeah.
At this moment, I'm weak, man. At this moment, I need, you know, I need to talk to someone. I need to say this. I need to get this out.
Yeah.
It's so much that we go through on a daily.
Yeah.
I mean, just daily life, bro. Just every day.
Everyday life, bro. And that's one thing, man. And to really segue into the mental health thing and if I could kind of pull it all together, you know, that was one thing that made me take my mental health seriously is because, you know, you're going to have to make decisions in life and you're going to have to live with those decisions.
Right.
Whether you deem it right or wrong, that's really how you define the decision. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, maybe I made the right choice, maybe I made the wrong choice, but for me, when all like the mental health things and the anxiety and depression, like when I really had to acknowledge it, you know, came out of decisions that I had to make, you know, within the last marriage and just in life and just dealing with, man, if I tell y'all as many, like I've been to court so many times, like custody, you know, for my kids and child support situations. I mean, I got locked up for a child support, life suspended, you know, been through all of it, man, and just kept that stuff inside.
Yeah.
Like, never talking to anybody. So then, and you have to be careful, you know, what you put in your spirit. Like, what goes in you is going to come out of you, you know. So I remember it was around November of last year, well, this past November, and, you know, just thinking about life. And it all started just off something simple. For the first time in that, you know, since I've been a father for real, I didn't have my kids with me the entire day of the entire holiday of Thanksgiving.
Hold on, get up. That's before you get into that fourth thing, keep that thought. Hold that thought.
I'm gonna hold that.
We're gonna take a small break and come right back in a few seconds.
All right, bet 'em up.
All right. Listen to Me Podcast. We back. Ken Cook. My man, Tremaine Reva.
On wax, man. Like, I'm extremely proud that you're doing this, man. I think this is an amazing platform, not just for men, but just for, you know, our community. Man, so you know, I'm excited that you're doing it, man, and I'm here to push the vision and play whatever parts you need me to play in this.
Oh man, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, we had these discussions about doing this, and we was gonna take a different, you know, try to take different routes to see how it was gonna go. But this is just on this platform, the way we're doing it actually right now, is a trial period to see how people is we gonna have, we get people receptive to it, you know, and to see how it goes. But my vision, and I shared with you before, is to have a network, right, with multiple shows and different things, you know, so it don't have to be, we need to talk about a lot, not just mental health for men and relationships and health and, you know, finances and financial literacy and a lot. And then we need to have something also for the women. Like, I'm gonna sit down with, I think, one of the strongest that I know of that's part of my family. Like, when you say a relationship, and it should be a partnership, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Man, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law is probably one of the strongest partnerships I've seen in years.
Dude, they gave me so much hope, man.
Don't
Like,
they?
man, they I never forget. I had them out. I have rented a bouncy house.
Right?
I had a party for my daughter at my mom's house. And Ed and Toya, man, they were setting up the bouncy house, bruh. And I'm just watching them. Like, they vacuuming it out. They got smiles on their face.
Yeah.
I'm just, man, that must be pretty damn cool.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And
Yes.
like, at that moment, I'm just like, I pray for them that they, you know, that they will always be able to work together and walk together hand in hand. And I'm like, man, God, give me some of that anointing. You
You
know what I'm
know?
saying? Whatever they got, you know what I'm saying? Let me get a inkling of that, man. And God being God, man, he just ran my cup over.
That's what it is. That's what it is. So, like with that, see, I think this platform and the way we should use it is to highlight people like that. You know what I'm saying? To highlight like you. And I highlight, I'm gonna talk to AJ, I'm gonna talk to Tyson, I'm gonna talk to, you know, a lot of people that's in our surrounding network that I think other people should hear their story. Because these are not just regular, in my eyes, they're not just regular people. I think they're just regular people doing stupendous, enormous, dope things, bro. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that it should be shared and highlighted. So that's what we want to start this platform off with. And then we're gonna, you know, get into the sports, we can get into music, we can get into a whole lot of things because our network really is big. It's huge. You know what I mean? So I think this can go a long way. You know, and I was a little apprehensive at first, you know, about doing it. But then, man, just started rolling and ideas started flowing and good people like you and Kenlo and, like I said, Dan and Toya and, you know, man, I'm gonna talk to Dondra Murray. You know what I'm saying?
I
Man.
remember years ago, I had did an event at the church. This is when the NIU shooting happened.
Okay.
And it was kind of like right after that. That's when like Chicago kind of went up,
Yeah.
like that spring. I know that happened around, I think, like Valentine's Day, actually, sometime in February at NIU. We had put together a camera crew. We went down there and I interviewed one of my boys who, attended NIU. And then we were able to get a student who was actually in the room. And I wish I knew where this stuff was. It was primarily at the last church I attended, but and then we were able to get in touch with a family member. So it was a young man who had lost his life in DeKalb. He was a student at NIU, and it was just a lot going on. And to hear it from the mom's side, I think really important that people start to listen to the mothers of victims. Like,
Yes.
we have to hear and we have to feel that hurt
Man.
to change.
Man, that's a club no one wants to be in.
Man,
You know,
man.
so yeah, I'm gonna get Nandria on, man, and hear her story. And we talked a little bit today about it, and I'm excited about that one for the simple fact that the people get to hear from the mother's mouth. You know what I'm saying? What she go through, and then how she turned And I would say turn tragedy into triumph because what you're doing with the foundation now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah. It's huge. All right, so that's that, man. Back to where we was at. We was getting to the mental health part of, you know, the mental stability or health part of what we go through on a daily. And you were speaking of, you know, going to a place, you know, getting, you know, in order for us to overcome, first we got to identify that we're there.
Right. Right.
And we would never get out of it if we don't admit to ourselves that we're there.
That we in it.
That we in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of men walk around here just walking.
Yeah.
Not admitting to themselves that, man, I'm messed up. How can I get out of this?
Right.
And what steps do I take? So I know you got an interesting story on when you was in that place.
Yeah. So, around November, it triggered from me not having my kids, and I couldn't get that thought out of my head.
Okay.
So it was one of those things, like, man, like, it's Thanksgiving, I'm having a good time, and, you know, we were at my brother's house, at A-Dub house, and then we went to my in-law's house in Indiana and things like that, and I'm just used to having them. So I was already sad, you know, just down, right. You know what I'm saying? And then I started noticing on social media, I was posting a lot of, you know, missing kids and sexually exploited kids.
Oh, yeah.
And the more and more I was posting that stuff, the more and more it was like triggering my anxiety because I started feeling like, can I really protect my daughters?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, man, like all these kids coming up missing and, you know, stuff like that. And then I began it was like I just couldn't stop the thought. Right. You know what I'm saying? And it just gave me a lot of anxiety, man. And just, you start thinking over your decisions in life and, you know what I'm saying? Am I making good decisions? You know, am I making bad decisions? How is this going to affect the kids? You know what I'm saying? And these are things you think about, you know, all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I would be a liar if I say I don't think about those things all the time, because at the end of the day, I'm grown.
Yeah.
I want my kids to have that shot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it ain't necessarily about me, but this anxiety thing for me, man, it started with something as small as that. But once that started, it just opened up everything. You know what I'm saying? And it was like just one night, man, I couldn't slow my mind down.
Mm-hmm.
And a thought popped in my head that said, what? I kid you not. I had a thought pop in my head, and it was just like cemented there. And it was, what makes you think that you deserve to be happy?
Mm.
As it pertained to my marriage.
Right.
And I'm just like, why am I even questioning happiness? You know, is this me?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And like, just all of that stuff, man, it just made for a really bad anxiety attack, man. I had an anxiety attack that lasted basically like a week.
Wow.
And it,
anxiety attack, for those that don't know, what's that feeling? What's the symptoms, I should say? Like, what are you going through?
I didn't know what was going on at first. It was just like my stomach. Like, I just had this, my stomach was like in knots. And, you know, I thought like maybe I'm getting the stomach flu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would feel like I had to use the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
But nah, but then like headaches and like just all type of stuff. And I went to work, like right when it was early on the onset.
Mm-hmm.
I got to work, man, and it was just like I couldn't calm myself down, heart beating real fast, sweating profusely, you know, and I just had this urge to just cry. Like, it was like I wanted to cry, but I didn't necessarily know why I wanted to cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why I wanted to be emotional and, you know, things like that, man. It just... my life, man, just everything I've been through in life was just back on display in my mind, bro. Stuff from when I was a kid, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Just life, it just all came back, man. And I was down. I kid you not, it was about a week. And you know, I thank God for my wife because my wife has a background. She has her bachelor's in psychology, and you know that helped kind of kill the stigma for me at home because she was like, no, it's okay. Right. And her, you're spending some time in grad school for counseling. You know what I'm saying? She was able to kind of talk me through it. You know what I'm saying? And, right. You know, and her being honest and say, hey, listen, I dealt with depression too. I've dealt with this stuff too. So I know exactly what you're going through. And that made it a lot easier for me to, you know, seek things like counseling and therapy and to begin to open up, like even to my parents, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, my brothers, you know what I'm saying? Like I just, you know, I needed to start talking about these things, getting these things off my chest.
Because before you never have.
Never have, bro. And I have a for real. It's not that I'm scared of failing, because I'm not. I just took enough L's to where I don't want to take them anymore.
I got you.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And, you know, I'm just at a place in my life. I'm just like, man, God, like, you know, I love this woman. I want to be with this woman. I want to do whatever I got to do, man, to keep my marriage. You know what I'm saying? But the enemy, after you fail, man, the enemy would leverage that. Oh, you can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, you go mess up again. Yeah. You know, you don't deserve this.
Right.
You know, all of that, man. And those are all things, man, that I had in my head, and I couldn't get them out. It got so bad one day. I called my parents. And I'm very thankful, man, for my pastors, man, at my church.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just my pastors. They're my friends. They're my brothers, man. You know, my senior pastor, Thaddeus Searcy,
mm-hmm.
His pastor, Pastor Keith and his wife, Pastor Linnea, man, they was here. You know what I'm saying? They, you know, Keith and Linnea, they came to the house. They married me and my wife. They counseled me and my wife. Right. They counseled me personally.
Right, right.
They took the time to, hey, no, we coming over. Let's pray, you know, let's talk. So mm-hmm. I had a group of solid support around me, kind of pushing me, you know, to handle it the right way. Right. You know what I'm saying? Healthy people get help.
Yeah.
And it was okay. You know, at that point, man, like, I felt that freedom to go ahead and to start to deal with this thing, because if you don't deal with it, it's going to deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and interestingly enough, Ken, I have never in my life ever thought about suicide.
Okay.
And I know, you know, I know in the church world, people will be so quick to say, oh, people that commit suicide, they going to hell.
Yeah.
Going to hell.
Yeah.
But, man, I heard T.D. Jakes say something on the Breakfast Club the other day that he basically said, like, man, people who, like, suffer from these mental things and they take their own life, they're the victim. You know, yeah. They're sick.
Yeah.
And you don't understand that unless you've dealt with anxiety and depression, unless you know how it feels, because it's an unexplainable pain.
Right. And like I think when you're going through those type of emotions and you're identifying with it, you're in hell at that moment.
At that moment.
You're really not thinking about anything after that or another hell coming after that. You're just trying to get out of that painful state that you're in right now. And those that have those suicide thoughts are just trying to find an escape from that pain that they have right then.
Yeah.
They're not thinking about, man, what the church going to think of me differently. Man, they're not thinking anything about, I got to relieve this pain.
Yeah.
And the only way I can do that is killing myself, which is sad.
It's sad.
You know, it's sad. But again, I say that's why things like this and getting it out and talking and sharing experiences with people that have been through that is important, especially for black men. Man, I can't emphasize that enough.
Damn,
that real. I know, bro, like that pain And that depression and not knowing what is what, like, why am I here? Why, you know, why I'm going through this with God? Why, you know, give me a sign. And he didn't gave you 20 signs.
Right, right.
You know, you're not heeding to it because you're not mentally there.
Mm-hmm.
Something has triggered you to fall into that space of darkness. And you got to find your way out. And it takes a strong man to say, I'm not okay.
I'm telling you, bro, it got so bad to the point for me one night. I said, take me to Ingles. You know, I've worked in healthcare for 15 years, so I know what hospitals got what psych wards and treatments and stuff like that. And I said, you know what? Because I was so new to it, and it was so fresh to me, it was so scary.
Yeah.
Listen, just take me somewhere where I can stay, and they could, you know, like I could just talk to somebody right now or whatever.
Right.
And when I went there, they was like, all right, I'm going to just tell you about God, bro. I went to the emergency room.
Now, let me stop right there. You went to the emergency room, Jermaine, but you're not physically hurt.
I'm not physically
you're
hurt.
You're not bleeding. You didn't get shot. You're not stabbed. You walk into the emergency room to tell someone, hey, I need to talk to somebody.
I need to talk to somebody.
Man, come on.
Yeah, and we got to the emergency room. We got to Ingles, and it was about 10, 11 o'clock at night. And when I got in the car, my parents came by to pick me up. And we got in the car, my wife and I, we was heading over there, and Joel Osteen was on the radio. They was listening to Joel Osteen.
Okay.
And he was just talking about life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And going through but God, you know, being God and, you know, can pull you out of anything, but that doesn't mean that life is still not going to be tough.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So, like, listen to that the whole time, and, like, it was encouraging me. But when I got to the hospital, bro, to check in, they called my name, and it was a tall black man.
Mm.
And I sat down in the chair. He said, what's up, brother? What you here for? I said, man, I'm depressed. And I'm like, I'm just here to try to, you know, get some treatment, you know, I'm dealing with this anxiety. He pushed the computer to the side, and he said, my brother, I've been dealing with depression 15 years.
Mm.
And I wish I was as strong as you when I first started going through it, because it caused me to lose my house, my marriage, my cars. It destroyed my life because I didn't want to acknowledge it.
Wow.
And he looked me straight in the eye. He said, because you're here, I know you're going to be okay.
Mm.
And this dude, I kid you not, Ken, you know, I ain't the smallest dude in the world.
Right.
I'm reaching across the table. Me and this dude, we locked hand in hand, man. And, like, I'm crying. He crying. And he just saying, listen, young brother, you're going to be okay.
Mm.
You're going to be okay. And he came around, bro. Embraced me, gave me a hug, man, and was like, listen, you're in the right place, you're doing the right thing, more people need to come and say, man, it's okay to get help, it's okay to, you know, to talk to people and things like that, man, and I just knew that was a God moment.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think you're finna walk into Ingles Hospital, man, and be able to make a connection to where you are at one of the worst places in your life, and somebody right away say, man, I know what you're going through, and I'm letting you know you're going to be okay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And from then on, I'm like, I have to approach this thing outwardly and openly because there's a bunch of men going through this.
Yes.
And that's what made me start, you know, start talking about it, start putting it out there, man. And just you and I, knowing each other for years, man, we've been dealing with the ups and downs and the anxiety and depression for years. Yep. Long conversations just about, you know, what we're going through and what we've been through and how it's going to work and how I'm feeling and, you know, things like that, man. But at no point at those times did we say, hey, let's get help.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? We got each other to talk to.
Yeah.
And that helped a whole lot. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But as we, you know, go on in life and, you know, we have that moment again and you go on in life and you have that moment again and, you know, it just makes it easier, man, when you reach out for therapy and counseling and stuff like that, man. And that stuff has been great. It's literally helped turn me into a different person, bruh. Like, I see the world so much differently. I feel like I'm a better man. I feel like I'm a better husband. I feel like I'm a better father now. You know what I'm saying? I'm a better coach. You know, like, it's made me so much better in life itself, man, because, you know, I can look at people, man, and I can empathize and say, you know what? You may be acting out because of some other reason, like, you know, my students at work or, you know, something like that, man. You know, you start to look at people differently and realize, like, what you're acting out ain't necessarily, you know, who you are. It's something that's going on, man. So it just opened up my eyes to, you know, mental health as a whole.
Right.
And I start putting it out there, man. I start getting all type of brothers, man, in my inbox, just like, man, Dub, you don't know what I'm going through. Or people that are send me a text like, hey, can we talk right quick?
Right.
You know, you got 15 minutes, you know what I'm saying? And I do my best, Ken, to make myself available. And you know, being a brother of mine and you know, my brothers know, and people that's, you know, in my circle know that I'm accessible. And if you want to pray, if you want to talk, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Because I lost somebody close to suicide. You know what I'm saying? Will Long.
Yeah, Will Long, yeah.
That's, you know, Will. Grew up with Will at church. You know, Will was like family, man. I lost him to suicide.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And a part of me felt guilty about that too, because when we was in Park Forest, you know, he was like, man, bro, you know, we need to talk. You know, I just want to talk about marriage and talk about things like that. But when you're going through in your marriage, like, when you're already having a tough time, how do you meet the need of
someone else? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, how do you minister accurately in this situations? You know what I'm saying? And I just felt like maybe my talks would surface.
Yeah.
Maybe they wasn't enough. You know what I'm saying? And I know that's a lot to put on me, man. And you know, when you lose somebody and, you know, stuff like that, man. But all of that stuff, man, plays a part into who we are, man. It's our mental health, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you're in counseling now? Do you still do counseling now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I go twice a month.
Twice a month. And yep. Your first session, man, tell me, how did you feel after that first one?
Man, I actually did a vlog, bro. Like, me and my wife did a vlog, and we just ain't released it yet. We did a vlog on the way to counseling, and then she did one while I was in there, just what she was feeling. And then when I came out, I did another one. But, Ken, it's absolutely like lifting all of the stress and pain and, you know, just mental anguish. It's like, you know, not getting rid of it, but starting to pack it up. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're starting to organize things.
Yeah, yeah. You get in your closet. You get your closet together.
Yeah, yeah. It starts, like, your life and your thought process and everything that you go through. It starts to make sense.
Yeah.
Okay, why make decision like this? Why does this make me angry?
Right.
Does this trigger me?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, this was the 5-year-old Tremaine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or this was the 10-year-old Tremaine issue, or the 17-year-old Tremaine, or the 25-year-old, or, you know what I'm saying? So all these journeys and things that we've been through in life, and we go through traumatic situations, or we see traumatic things, and we bury it. But bury it just means you can't see it. It doesn't mean that it don't exist.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And those things, they get unearthed.
Yeah.
You know? For many of us, man, but I felt great, man. I got a wonderful counselor. Her name is Vilma. Vilma Matthews, Chicagoland Christian Counseling Center. I go right there in Orland Park.
Okay.
And she's phenomenal, man. And I wanted a faith-based therapist. Like, I wanted somebody who, you know, we could also talk about church and, you know, church things. Man got a little church hurt. You know what I'm saying? I got some things with just church, you know, that I've dealt with, you know what I'm saying? Or had to deal with, or some things I had to unpack, you know, in just the world of church. So it ain't been easy. Mm. It hasn't been an easy process facing these things, but it's been worth it, you know, coping, mechanisms and, you know, strategies and, you know, all of that stuff, man, just to deal with the anxiety of it all, man. But, you know, just knowing, just going to talk, going to get it off your chest. And it may not be as drastic as people, you know, wanting to go to therapy. I wanted to go to therapy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it was just something that I wanted, you know, to do that I felt was best for me. But at the same time, you know, for some brothers, it may be, you know, talking to kin.
Right,
You know,
right.
talking to another brother. You know, therapy looks different for, you know, everybody, you know, but man, I felt so good, and I feel good every time I go, bro. Like, and there's a lot of free resources. Governor State got free counseling, free therapy.
See that? That's good
Yeah.
info. That's good
Yeah.
info. Look,
Yeah.
let me we're gonna take another break, a short break, man. Break this segment up a little bit. Man, it's great. This is great info, Tremaine, man. It's great talking to you and listening to your story. And we'll be right back on Listen to Me podcast. One second. All right, we back with Tremaine Weaver. Went through some of the dark spots, man, and how you found help and, you know, getting out of the depression and anxiety that you was going through. The marriage, we spoke on, you know, you getting help and you going to counseling. And you know, it's not a bad thing. Like, people put counseling and like seeking help is bad. You know, you get this stigma like something's wrong with you. Yeah, nigga, something is wrong. And I acknowledge that something is wrong, and that's why I'm going to go see some help. You know, you don't want me out here to blow your head off, or, you know, I take it out on someone else. It's the reason why I'm going to seek help, because I want to be there for my family. You know what I'm saying? So that is interesting, you know, interesting. Your life is where you is up, down, and up again. Right? You agree?
Oh no, I definitely agree. I
Yeah.
definitely.
Because where you at right now, you're the happiest you ever been, right? You're in a better mental state than you ever been, and you know it, you know how we can score that is that you didn't know that you was in a bad mental state. You know what I'm saying? When you was in it, you had to get out of it in order to know that you was in a messed up state. Because now you feel better now. You know, a small story. You know, I'm gonna tell you this. I was like a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago. It was a few months ago. It was last year. I'm like, damn, why I gotta go pee all the time? I'm not peeing, but then I'm thirsty all the time. So I'm thinking I'm peeing all the time because I'm thirsty all the time. And my wife said, no, you know, you need to go to the doctor because that is a sign of diabetes. And I was like, what? But I don't feel different. I don't feel no different. And I feel great. This is the only symptoms that I have that I know of. You know, I go to the doctor, bro. I make a doctor's appointment. I get off work. My doctor's appointment like at 4:45 or something. I get off at 4. I stop and get my car washed. Again, I gotta pee. You know, there's no thing. I got a cup of water in my car. I never had those things. I never had to keep water or Gatorade or something with me all the time because I've never been that thirsty all the time. I get to the doctor, man. She take my blood. Long story short, my glucose level was off the charts. And she said, "How you feel?" I said, "Well, I feel good." And this is exactly what she said. You think you feel good because you've been feeling like this for so long. Once we get this under control, you're gonna see how much better you're gonna feel. And that's the same thing with mental health. Like, you think you're okay, but you don't know that you're really bad until you get out of it. And you see how much better you feel. So now you're at that stake. You're at that peak in your life right now. And you're the best that you feel. The best that you ever felt, I should say. The marriage is good, kids are good, and I see you with the daddy daughter dance. I see you know, doing things with your kids, teaching how to pump gas. That was hilarious too, bro. When you told her to put the gas pump back on, that was hilarious.
It's been, like you said, man, my life ain't much different than most people's lives, man. Everybody go through these ups and downs. It's really how you respond to it. Dude, you said it right, you know, with mental health, man. Like, the biggest thing I want people to know is you have to know yourself. You have to know when you're in a altered place, or you're not feeling yourself, or, you know, you lose interest. and the things that you love to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just little things like that are all signs of, a mental health issue. You know what I'm saying? You know, when happiness is just absent. You know, if that makes sense or whatever. So that's my biggest nugget to people is that, listen, like, know yourself and be honest with yourself, and it's okay. Like, it's okay to get counseling. It's okay, and you're not crazy.
Right. You're not crazy.
One thing I learned, bro, and I start telling people this, bro, if you look up anxiety, depression, things like that in the Bible, it's in there. In there, people wanting to be killed or wanting to kill themselves for whatever reason. In there, we've been dealing with this since creation. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Right.
our minds are, it's like any other organ. You know, it has the ability to go out of whack. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you are crazy.
Right.
Sometimes it's just life.
Yeah.
It's life. It is just the trials of life. And sometimes you just have to talk to people about that. But for me now, man, yeah, I'm in a very good place. Doesn't mean that, we don't have ups and downs of life, man. It's just, how we approach them, how we attack them. Right now, most people know me from Hillcrest football. And Hillcrest is doing well, man. I remember when we took over the program or when I told people, man, I was going back to Hillcrest, people laughed in my face. People, I walked away. I left a very we were on fire with the Park Forest Hurricanes. You know, I hired at Hillcrest, and I was like, man, since I'm at Hillcrest, we got to redevelop the feeder with Country Club Hill. So I went back to Country Club to kind of redevelop that, and Hillcrest took off. You know, we got Kweisi in as the head coach at first, and we just went to work. And now Mo is over it, man, and we sending kids to college, bro.
Right.
Like,
For those that don't know,
yeah.
Morgan Weaver, your younger brother, is the head varsity head coach. Was he coach? He was coach of the year last year, right?
He had won he was the conference coach of the year, and I know he had won some other coach of the year awards, and I'm proud of Mo, man. Mo, my little brother, and he's my boss. But man, he to be his age, to be in his 20s, like, he handles it well. You can tell that he's purposed for this. And man, it's not another person or coach, that I would want to work for. Like, I've had the opportunity to work with, Marquise Cole, who's a very good friend of mine, like a brother. Me and Quis are very close. But to see the football Quis post the NFL and just how, he made us attack Hillcrest, how he made us attack coaching. How, we build the plan, kept to the plan, and seeing the success that we have now, and just to watch Morgan step in and, keep that going, man, it's been amazing. And now, we got the Junior Hawks venture, where we are really, God gave me the vision for the Junior Hawks to really just be a partnership and the collaboration in the community, between, Hazelcrest Mustangs and Country Club Hill Cougars. And that's what we're moving towards. Hazelcrest Mustangs, they're still going forth in tackle football and cheerleading. We're just developing the Junior Hawks as another tackle football option in the community. But we're working together on mentoring and tutoring and all the stuff that our kids need, man. I just feel like we don't have to be separate all the time. In order for us to make the change that we're seeking, we're going to eventually have to work together. If you just look at the climate of our community right now, we're watching people launch themselves into entrepreneurship. You know what I'm saying? People, starting businesses and, becoming like brand ambassadors for themselves. You know, people, making all type of stuff. You know, if it catering, if it's, decorations, like, we have so much access.
And it's crazy, bro, because it's like a new business pop up every day. And I sit back and applaud these people for taking that leap. Like, you know, my man Brian Thompson with the sneaker cleaning thing, and Robin Green with the bartending, you know what I'm saying? Like Ebony Keisha Irvin with the catering, and bro, like JD Peterson with the decorating, bro, like it's crazy, it's crazy. And again, like these people need to be celebrated because they might inspire you to do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like they might give you that little push to jump out there and say, you know, I've been thinking of doing this the whole time. And, you know, if you see someone else taking that leap, you know, you might be inspired to do the same. You know, so I applaud them, man, when I see that on my Facebook feed that someone, okay, hey, hit me up if you need this. You know, I'm doing this. And, you know, Burkett with his real estate thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see all of that. And I applaud them, man. Like, it's inspiring, bro. It's inspiring.
Man, shout out to Burkett. Shout out to Bo, man. Like really, man, shout out to all my brothers at Hillcrest, the coaching staff, you know, the coaching staff and Hazelcrest Mustangs and Country Club. Everybody that's working together out here, everybody that's building something that's good for everybody. For my wedding reception, I only used people that I knew. Keisha, you know what I'm saying? Well, I buy gear and like clothes and stuff from Jackpot. Like, you know, I buy t-shirts from them, or I might see somebody post something else online and I'll support that, man. Like, you know, I really believe in supporting the community.
Yes.
It's supporting my people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to be racist or prejudice or anything, but I got black dollars.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I reside in the black community, man. So if I need a caterer or whatever, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell people, hey, hit Keisha up.
Yeah.
You know, if you need some type of design, you know, or if you need a birthday party for the kids, you know, hit Toya up.
Yeah.
You know, hit Jade up. Hit Robin up. You know what I'm saying? Hit the people up that you know doing something. Jay Simon, Ken Lowkey, who still he doing stuff with big name people, but I text him, hey, Lowkey, I need whatever. I need XYZ. I got you, bro.
Yep.
That's how all of this works, man. This is how we can change the landscape of our community, man, by all of us locking arms together. You gotta look at situations like Chance the Rapper wearing a CTU t-shirt.
Yeah.
How that changes the narrative.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People have to look at that and say, man, you know, they have someone advocating who care about the kids, who care about the community, man. And that's all I'm really trying to accomplish. If I'm going to live here, I want to make it the best possible community for myself, for my children, for your children, you know, for everybody here, because that's what the community was like for me, man. I had a ton of, you know, dynamic mentors and sport. And just other things that, you know, I wanted to do, man. So now it's just really bringing it all together. And I'm using the Junior Hawks as a vehicle. So if anybody want to partner, man, I'm partnering with some amazing people. With John Edwards and Fierce.
Shout out to John Edwards and the whole Fierce camp, man. They doing big things.
Doing huge things, man. And you know, I got, you know, some really quality people, you know, on staff, and being able to continue to work with Jeff Newton and being able to work with the Hazelcrest Mustangs with Phil and with the board and everybody over that, man, and Art and Tiffany, and, you know, everybody, man. I don't have no ill feelings towards everybody. My thing is, let's get to work, you know, let's identify the needs of the community and let's do what we can together to meet that, because we really are. And it ain't, you know, I know it's just a cliche, but we are stronger together.
Yeah, no, it's big, and it's big. It's bigger than just us. It's bigger than the individual.
Yep.
It's bigger than that. Yeah. It's way bigger than that. And I agree with you 100%, man. Like, yeah, you got to reach out to those that you know that's doing these things, that these services and providing these services, you know, for the people, bro. Like, I'm with it 100%. 100%, man.
Yeah, man. So it's you know, it's just a beautiful thing, man. And again, like I'm you know, I'm in a great place. I got, you know, great people around me, man. I'm telling you, dude, my wife, I don't leave the house without a prayer.
That's what's up.
And it's so important, bro. Like, it's so important to have that relationship and prayer with your spouse, man, because Listen, I can't. I know you love me because you take the time to put me before the Lord. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know you care. You, my wife say little things to me all the time, Ken, that check me. She'll say, hey, watch who, you know, there's certain people that's trying to attach to you right now that you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't really watch. You know, you got to kind of watch them.
Yeah.
She's that person in my life, man. And that makes a huge difference. And I submit to that.
That's what's up.
Because God, you know, God is showing her. I have to trust the God in her as well. It ain't just about me being the man and being the dominant leader. No, like God, you know, God is still God, and he's going to deal with her about things regarding me and me. And he's going to deal with me about things regarding her. So you have to be open and you have to be receptive to that, man. And she's just, you know, she's been solid in my life, man. And you know, it ain't no shade to nobody, man, but I thank God, you know what I'm saying, for the wife that I have, the family, my mother and father, my brothers, you know, A-Dub, man. Like, I thank God for them, man. And I wouldn't be anything without, you know, without my family.
Right.
You know, just the Weaver name, just the Weaver name in the Country Club Hills and Hazelcrest community, man. You know, just us, you know, being out here, man, and working for the community and working for these kids, man. I'm blessed, and it holds legacy.
Yes.
You know, man, it holds power, and that's what we're doing out here with these businesses. Like, our kids see these things. You know what I'm saying? To think about what our kids see, like, man, the business owners that I know, black.
Yeah.
I grew up looking, you know, my kids will be able to say that.
Yep.
You know, so, man, God is good, bro. Like, I'm very thankful for where I'm at in life. I'm thankful for the ups. I'm thankful for the downs, because the downs taught me a hell of a lot about myself.
Yeah.
A hell of a lot about myself. And I'm continually, you know, to evolve, man. And I just believe in reconciliation and everybody, you know, working together in harmony. And I know that's can be deemed as a fairy tale, but at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, this is the reality that I would like to, you know, display, that I would like to live in, and you know, and this is the people that I would prefer to be around, people that's, you know, excelling themselves and not doing things the traditional way. And man, I'm thankful, man. I'm thankful for the, you know, the mental health things that, you know, I'm having the opportunity to be able to put together, and the Junior Hawks, and you know, the youth ministry, and most importantly, you know, just being a husband,
yeah,
and being a father, man. And you know, those things matter a whole lot to me, bro. So I just want to encourage anybody,
and being a friend, bro.
A friend.
That goes a long way, bro, especially with me. You know what I'm saying? It goes a long way, because, you know, bro, you was a phone call, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a phone call, and you always picked up. And, bro, yeah, we've talked a long time, man. You know what I'm saying? We burnt them wires up, man. If we still had minutes and we had to pay for minutes.
Yeah.
Bro, because we talk, it wasn't free nights and weekends, man, when we had our sessions.
Not, man, but you know, man, that's the beauty about life, man. You find people to walk it with, man, and I'm appreciative of that, bro. And I'm one of those dudes, I tell my friends all the time, like, man, I love you.
No doubt.
You have enough people leave this earth, man, you just realize how extremely important it is just to say, man, I love you. So
yeah.
I make sure I say that to my friends, to my family, you know, because at the end of the day, none of us are promised tomorrow.
Man, for real.
You know what I'm saying? You know, that's one big question mark. You know, and I understand why the Bible be like, listen, tomorrow got its own issues. You said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow got its own separate issues. You know what I'm saying? Let's deal with today. You know what I'm saying? Let God deal with what you got going on today, man. Let's not worry about 2-3 days, you know, ahead, man. Let's deal with today. Let's deal with right now, man. And, you know, ultimately, Ken, man, my prayer is that, you know, people learn from my life. People learn from my mistakes. That my kids learn from my life, from my mistakes. I think it's awesome, dude. It's my wildest dreams to be raising a son.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something, man.
Yeah, it's something for me, man. Yeah. It's really it's different. You know, only raising girls, And then, you know, to get a son, man, and to be in a beautiful blended situation. Not all blended situations are beautiful,
right?
But in the beautiful blended situations, and to have a male to say, like, man, listen, you know, let's, you know, just follow me as I follow Christ. I'm gonna make mistakes, but I'm gonna be there. You know, be at basketball and football and tap dancing and ballet, whatever the kids in, man. I try to get there for all of that.
That's what's up, man. T-Dub. Man, this has been one of the best conversations I had since we've been doing this podcast. You know, well, you know, just only episode 3, so you're the second person I talked to. So right now it's you and Ken Lokey, and I ain't gonna rank y'all, but this was dope, enlightening, eye opening. You know, all of that, all of those things, like all those words that you know, say I could throw in there. This was that. You know what I'm saying? This is a great conversation, man. And I want to say this, Gemstones got a song called Deeds. And in that song, in the beginning of Before It Comes On, he said, on your tombstone, it's going to say, from this date to this date. But the only thing that matters, that dash that's in between.
Yeah.
And I think that dash in between, whenever we get to that day, this is what we're building right now.
Yeah.
When people say, when they stand over me, and the preacher say, Ken Cook did this, 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 and this. That's what I'm living for now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you is an epitome of that. When you know, whenever that day come, and that man stand over you and say, Jermaine Weaver did this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
Man, that means something.
Yeah, man. Like, I honestly, man, even through the good and the bad, bro, like, I just really always just try to submit my life to the Lord, man, and that don't mean perfection.
No.
You know, it means a striving towards it, man, but, dude, it's a blessing to serve a God, man, who not only, you know, forgives us, but tells us to forgive ourselves. You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's the biggest thing sometimes, man, is you forgiving yourselves for the things that you did.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Or you saying, like, man, I could have did things wrong, and that's, you know, or did things better, or, you know, I could have judged things better or made a better decision, man, and that comes with just, you know, maturing as a male or as a man, but man, having faith in God, you know, knowing that God is with us, knowing that long suffering it is a fruit of the Spirit. Like, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to have trials and tribulations, and everything ain't going to be hunky-dory when it comes to the Lord. And if people tell you that, they lying.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I really just try to, and I ain't trying to be holier than thou, man. I like to go out, have a good time. You know what I'm saying? I kick it, I dance, you know, have a drink, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still an adult. Still, like, and y'all know I show up to the party, to the Mustangs party, anytime somebody having something.
Yeah.
Me and the wife, we out there, man. But you know, that's what it's about. Like, you know, I love fellowshipping with people. I love people. I love serving people. So that's my mission. That's my goal in life, bruh. And I appreciate you having me on, man, and saying all the kind things, bro, that you're saying, man, and you can say it from a point of being personal, because you know.
Yeah.
And vice versa, man, and I thank God for this platform. I thank God for the platforms, you know, that's going to open up for my wife and I, because we're going to start podcasting about just, you know, blending family.
Yeah, no and doubt.
What that feels like. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The ups and downs of that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, understanding kids' mindset, understanding the mindset of kids that ain't yours. Yeah. You know, your kids think because they're yours, you know what I'm saying? But when you come into a blended situation, you have to relearn, reevaluate, you know, you have to strip yourself of old way of doing things, and, you know, you have, be able to compromise and shift, and, you know, you can't parent all the kids the same, and, you know, with your spouse, you got to deal with your spouse differently and know your spouse, you know, all of that. So we're going to talk about all that good stuff, bro.
I'm looking forward to that, man. I'm looking forward to that. Bro, I can't say how blessed I am to have a friend like you.
Man, same here, bro.
Real
same
talk.
Here.
This has been delightful.
Yeah.
You know, any last words, man? Any parting words you wanna share before we end this podcast?
Hey, man, nah, man, really. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the opportunity, man. I'm thankful for, you know, being able to share my story. Man, reach out, contact me. You know, I'm on every social media platform. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, just, man, I'm thankful for this. You know, I'm thankful for every situation that I've been in that God has placed me in. I just want to tell people out there, whatever you're going through, whether it's mental health, whether it's your regular health, you know, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your family, with your kids or anything, man, just trust God and just know that God is going to be there and just continue to live. Like, don't give up on yourself. Continue to live. Continue to strive. Set goals for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Try goals. Shoot your shot. I tell people that all the time. Like, when it came down for my wife, like, somebody inbounded the pass. I was on the other side of the court and just threw it up. And I made it.
All net.
And I made it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm still running around the arena right now. Like,
celebrating.
Hey.
That's what's like, up.
Man, just keep living, man. Like, you know, it's going to get better. Like, life is going to get better. Not saying that it's always going to be great, but it's going to be better. And especially if you know the Lord, you know what I'm saying? Things will be better. And God has a specific will and purpose for your life. And, man, I'm thankful, man. And if anybody need me, want to contact me, you know, talk to me.
How can they get up with you?
I'm on Twitter at TDub52. And I'm on Facebook, Tremaine Weaver. And, you know, that's pretty much how people get in contact with me.
That's what's up, man. Hey, it's been a blessing, man. Another great podcast here. Man, thank you so much, man. God bless you and your wife and the family. Man, I'm about to go in here and pray with my wife right now, bro.
Hey,
like,
man,
we about to get it in. Crying, snotting, all.
Hey, it's working. Do that thing afterwards. You're going to really see what type of God we serve.
Bang, bang, bang. All right. Hey, this is Listen to Me Podcast with Ken Quick Cook. My special guest, man, brother, man, true friend, Tremaine Weaver. Thank you guys for listening. That's it for this one.
Yes, sir.